Have you been busy plundering the hedges for their autumn bounty, staining your fingers purple with blackberries, gathering elderberries, cobnuts, sloes? Or perhaps you're not that kind of person who snacks on fistfuls of wild pea. Are you maybe the kind who curses the hawthorn for puncturing your good football? Or did you once upon a time make pea shooters out of the dried out stem of cow parsley? There is nothing in the Irish landscape that we take more for granted than the hedgerow. There is also nothing that shapes the Irish landscape more than the hedgerow. And while some continue to rip them out at the shocking rate of between 1 and 2,000 kilometres a year to make way for bigger, more productive fields, this week I met two farmers in Tipperary who could not possibly be more enthusiastic about letting the hedges on their farms grow out a bit.
There's just an interesting thing. I reckon that a badger actually dug out that, and that's actually a wasp's nest.
It's not easy to have an uninterrupted chat with Pat Marr as you walk his land. Every few yards, there's something in the hedges that he wants you to have a look at.
Nest. See it?
It is, isn't it? Look at that.
And look at the power that would need it to do that. Now, if I said to me he wanted to be fairly hungry to start interfering with the wasps.
What's a badger going to get out of a wasp's nest?
That's a very good question.
There's no honey in there.
So it's the old stump that has rotted that they found a place.
Literally 20 yards later, he stops me once again to point out one of the few elms anywhere in the country with resistance to Dutch elm disease.
So there might be some resistance in this elm to the fungus that the beetle brings.
So this is the new generation of hopefully successor elms,
yeah? Yes, yeah. I was told for 3 or 4 years ago it would start to die, but it has grown another, I'd say, 10 feet since.
If you had done the orthodox thing with your hedges, that elm wouldn't have had a chance, would it?
Correct, wouldn't have had a chance.
That's something to bear in mind now, isn't
it? It is. We need the hedgerows and we need nature around us. No.
At a time of year when birds are gradually retreating from view, the hedges of Pat's farm are groaning under the weight of so much fruit that there is still a riot of bird life.
It was a mixed farm, and I concentrated more on dairying for the last 30, 40 years. They'll talk about sustainability all the time, but there was no resilience in the system. We thought if we had more production, we'd have more money, but we had more expense as well. So my answer to that was the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. So I felt I wanted to change. And I did a biodiversity course.
And what prompted you to do that?
I think my wife saw it and said, you might be interested in that.
What was the big thing that you learned?
The mantra, what did you do when you knew? So when you know that you have interfered with nature in some way, or what actually did you do now? What did you do when you knew? Did you just stand idly by and say, well, I can't do anything? But actual fact, every little journey that you make, every little thing you do, is a positive. Here I've left the hedges grow. You hear even the birds here. This is an October morning where there's a bit of wind. And yes, the birds are there. There's plenty of fruit on the...
I was going to say, your hedgerows are, what's the word I'm looking for? Fecund. Abundant with rows and hips and berries of all kinds.
Yeah, and that's just by leaving them on a tree, maybe the five-year rotation. I feel it's a kind of Victorian, where the Victorians wanted to control everything, and we want this short back and sides, and everything is neat. But it's the divide of everything, and while nature can survive without man can't survive without nature. If we destroy nature, we'll destroy ourselves.
People are beginning to appreciate the many roles and values and contributions of this hedge to all the environmental challenges we're facing.
Such as?
Well, carbon sequestration and storage is hugely important for hedges. They store a lot of carbon.
Alan Moore from Hedgerows Ireland.
They have a major role in preventing and controlling flooding. They soak up a lot of water. They allow penetration of flood water into the soil. They are the home for 95% of the biodiversity on farmed land. So without hedgerows, we would have almost nothing alive in our farms.
John Hurley walks down the fields of his farm outside Clonmel to greet me. Unflappable in the midst of five dogs not happy about my arrival, he was now also looking after three Springer Collie cross pups that had just been abandoned in his yard.
Are they keepers now? Are they staying with you?
Oh, if I can find a good home for them now.
I know you're going to try and sell me one. I'm not going home with a puppy.
Just like Pat, John had a bit of a road to Damascus moment after the lifting of milk quota. The business got big and busy and he wondered, was there another way?
I gave years, same as everyone at the moment, chasing my tail, trying to grow one blade of grass to feed two cows.
But how does the hedgerows then play a part in this?
Well, we said it's all part of nature. If you can keep it back as close to nature, at the end of the day, none of us can take it with us, like we said. To me, this is my
the shelter provided by less manicured hedges allowed John to leave his yearlings out for the last 12 months, where many had livestock indoors for as much as 10 whole months.
We're grazing in under the wires now. You see that's grazed tight okay. There now.
And what are they looking for there?
If there's kind of herbs in there, they know themselves.
One of the more curious things John has noticed is how many of his cows graze the herbs in the hedgerows, sometimes heading there first and ignoring a fresh flush of grass.
Mm-hmm. There'd be a lot of herbs there. I wouldn't know the proper, the Latin names from, but the cows will pick them up or pick them out themselves.
Are they hunting out things that they need as well?
Definitely. It was some fields, you leave them in, there'd be a heap of grass in it, but they'd go to the ditches first and graze around the ditches under the wire first.
They really?
Yeah. Like we said, whatever herbs was in it. Like you'd often see cows grazing nettles. Like nettles are a great source of iron. Okay.
Is this a little bit too optimistic of me then to think that you can cut down your antibiotic use as well if they're grazing all these herbs?
Not one bit. It's like we've cut back antibiotics a hell of a lot now in the last, 10 years.
And did you see any increase in the incidence of disease once you started cutting down on the antibiotics?
No, none at all. Okay.
I'm sure there would be those of a much more scientific and less anecdotal mind who would probably say, that's rubbish, you can't be curing your cattle from the hedgerows. But that is your experience.
Well, that's my experience, but we're living it here, we're doing it here. And we say, according to the powers that be, I'm not supposed to be viable. According to the medical people, I'm not supposed to be viable. I'm fooling them all so far. that's the way I look at it. Most I'm deaf, I might look deaf, but I love what I do. To me, this is my piece of heaven.
Yeah. And how important a part of the hedgerows in that little piece of heaven?
This country is known for, its scenery, the beauty, the insects and the whole lot. You can go over to America and you get these big prairies. There's no ditches and there's no nothing. Even somebody told me in Germany, they till right out to the side of the road. There's no waste. But where's the home for the insects? Bats, rabbits, foxes, the whole lot.
We want to really focus on the 680,000 odd kilometres of hedgerows which remain in this country, because they're still being removed at a rate which is unsustainable.
And is it still at the rate of about 1,000 kilometres or thereabouts a year?
Well, the last figures, which I think were up to 2021, showed something like between 1,100 and 2,000 kilometres removed a year.
That's from Mallon to Mizzen, Mizzen to Mallon, and then Mallon back to Mizzen every year that's being removed.
It's a pretty frightening figure when you look at it, Philip. The other figure, though, that needs to be trotted out is that the best research shows that of the hedgerows that remain, only about a third are in good condition.
So I was getting disillusioned. So this was a real shot in the arm to me to say, actually, I have a nice place. I still have a nice farm. I can still do my farming. I can talk to other people like-minded. And between it all, we can still have a nice time. We can still have nice walks and we can actually do some bit to the environment. We can do our bit. What I realised is how limited my bit was when I was in the biodiversity group. I couldn't do anything about water. I'm not near a river. I couldn't do anything about the bogs. I don't have one. But what I could do was I had a hedgerows. And therefore, I could say, this is my contribution to that environmental challenge. What did you do when you knew?
What did you do when you knew indeed? The badger was looking for wasp larvae, says Shona, who has got to us through to us on the WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32, as has Miriam Mooney, who says that that is uplifting. Listening to Pat and John as well is a person whose name comes up again and again on farms that I have visited. Wherever I've met a farmer who has decided to stop giving his hedges those repeated short back and sides, at some point, the name Catherine Keane will be mentioned. She is a Chagask advisor, preaching the gospel of hedges as habitat, and I managed to track her down during the week for a chat. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good morning, Philip.
How common now are the Pats and the Johns, the farmers who are going against that short back and sides orthodox approach to hedge management?
Well, more common, Philip. There's a lot more going on hedges now at the ground. I'm actually here this morning in Ballycasine Hotel, where I stopped off on my way to a hedgerow event on a dairy farm in Cappamore in Limerick, in Garrod Mahers. So there is more going on the ground. There's also at the policy and the marketing level, there's more support for biodiversity, more interest. So I think and biodiversity is equal to water and climate at a high level. So I think both at ground and high level, there is definitely more awareness. I've been working for 30 years on biodiversity and hedges. And I would say the last three, maybe since COVID, but because of all those other policies and marketing initiatives, they are more important now.
That is really encouraging. The thing, though, when I talk to other farmers who are a bit more hesitant, the thing that stops them is the thought of the amount of land that they might lose by letting that hedge grow out. What would you say about how much land is actually lost?
Well, it's more growing up is what we want them to do. I mean, if a farmer is happy to let the hedge, we don't particularly want the hedge covering the field. That's scrub. That's a different habitat. That, you know,
but what they're worried about, though, Catherine, is that a hedge grows up, it's going to block out the sun. It's going to stop the wind from clearing water off the land. Does that happen?
I presume the growth next to the hedge would be, it can be a bit different. But the shelter is enormous too, so the swings and roundabouts. So in general, no, I don't think that's a big worry for farmers.
Obviously, when the hedges grow up, they're useful as a perch to many, many species of birds. We have 110, I think, species in this country. How many of them would use hedges?
Yeah, I think they're the ones that are regularly breeding that are recorded in our Countryside Bird Survey, the Birdwatch Ireland one. Amazing, 55 of those use hedges, Philip, and 35 of them to nest, and then others use it for other reasons, you know, for feeding, for travelling along, for perching. So that's a phenomenal number, isn't it?
It is. It was exactly 50%. There seems to be two camps, Catherine. Those who say cut some hedges every year and leave others completely untouched. And then those who, like I think you heard John, or was it Pat there, saying that he would cut on a 4 or 5 year rotation. Is there a right or a wrong way to do this?
Well, there's certainly a very wrong way, Philip. And I think if people could just understand how a whitethorn grows, there are many ways and many different hedges then. But whitethorn, as we call it in the countryside, farmers call it, it's also called hawthorn, I suppose that's why we have Latin names. But when a whitethorn is planted, whether it is today or 200 years ago, as most of our hedges were, exact same as an oak tree or any other tree, its whole mission in life is to become a tree, a single stem with a big canopy full of fruit and flowers. And those hedges that have never been topped are what we call the tree line hedges. They have kind of escaped into a hedge. Now, you could actually say they're not hedges at all. They're like linear woodlands. And the huge biodiversity value, as you heard there, is in the canopy. Now, they're a bit thin at the base, but that's fine. You can't have everything everywhere. So that's what we call our tree line hedges. And we're on our signpost farms, we're aiming for 50% of the hedges to be tree line hedges. But there is still a place, Philip, for the topped hedge done right. And that means that you're building up the base either by, you know, building it up, pruning it from day one, building it up, or laying,
indeed,
or, you know, creating this really dense space, and providing that's left high enough and wide enough and occasional thorn trees are retained, you then have the benefit of the thick base and some of the canopy. So there is a place for a good topped hedge. The problem is we have upside down toilet brush hedges, which are not good topped hedges, where that tree, if you can imagine a tree, was cut in the middle. And now we've got a stumpy hedges. Indeed. And they're so clear in November, December.
OK, and Catherine, thank you very much. Obviously, from what you're saying, no one-size-fits-all solution here. It's up to the individual landowner to decide what it is that works for them. Good to talk to you, Catherine Keena from Chagas. Before we move off the subject of hedges, let me just say that there is a really interesting collaboration between a farming organisation and an environmental organisation that's running at the moment. The ICMSA, the Dairy Farmers Representative Body, and Hedgerows Ireland, a group of environmental activists, are running a hedgerow photography competition. Take a picture of whatever it is about a hedge near you that has caught your eye, submit it to their expert judging panel on hedgerowsireland.org, and there is a very generous cash prize for winners who are going to be announced next month, and we will post the winners on our site too. hedgerowsireland.org for that.